this time on Compassion Radio.
I would say that it is a dramatically different environment because the people, the Christians, the missionaries are very aware of the possibility that there are spies in their midst, and they are therefore afraid to conduct as an example training for missionaries because that may expose some of the missionaries to scrutiny on the part of the big country. So in other words, what you've just said, Bram, is exactly right. The big country in the region has extended its hands across borders and is now having a profound effect throughout the entire region.
Hello, and welcome back to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. Today, Bram catches up with Chris Creech, who along with his wife Faith pastored for many years before being called to serve in ministry in East Asia. He and his wife have been back in the U.S. for a few years now and are currently working to help combat the growing oppression of Christians around the world. I'm Frank Montenegro, and here's part one of that conversation.
Chris, you've been a world traveler, and you and your wife have shared much about ministry you've been having to churches because you come from a toxic church background. You've responded to it in the love of Christ. You're helping other pastors understand how to deal with toxic situations. And one of the greatest toxic situations that we see is the growing oppression of Christians around the world. And you have a lot to say about that. So, Chris, welcome back to Compassion Radio.
Well, thank you, Bram. We appreciate the opportunity to share some of our experiences with you. As you are aware, we've had not only a ministry with pastors, but also with missionaries, and particularly those who have been tied in some way to Southeast Asia.
And Southeast Asia is a hotbed right now, economically, as well as socially and religiously. We know that down Malaysia way, that the pressures from the Islamic fronts and Pacific Ocean nations like the Philippines, Indonesia, it's touch and go right now. But you are trying to focus on those who are remaining in country in many of those nations.
Yes.
And you just got back from a meeting with some of those that have been kicked out of countries and trying to regroup and figure out what God has for them next. We won't talk about where that location is for security purposes, but I want you to talk about the principles here. There's a big brother, so to speak, in that part of the world that is exercising an awful lot of leverage at this point, economically, politically, and militarily. And they're also reaching far into the surveillance state, not just of their own nation, but of the nations around them. So why don't you just kind of walk me through what you experienced that was new this time around in encouraging the missionaries and believing brothers and sisters in the countries where you visited?
Sure, Bram. We did live in several Southeast Asian countries. Some were relatively free. Some were Islamic countries. Others were Buddhist countries. So we've been throughout the region quite extensively. Since our semi-retirement about 4 years ago, I'm now 70 years old, we have been making trips back and forth into Asia on a regular basis. Our last trip was about 2 months. We went into a particular city in Asia, Southeast Asia, that has been known as something of a retreat center for missionaries and a place for many mission organizations headquarter in that region. The biggest difference, and it was a very significant difference, were the number of missionaries who were there who had been ejected from the biggest country in Asia and the profound influence it was having upon that particular area. As an example, we went to an international church that we'd attended before, previously 12 to 15 people, now 150 to 200.
Mm-hmm.
In that church service, a microphone was handed around asking people who were first time to introduce themselves, and it took about 10 minutes. Probably the majority of the people in the room were first-timers, and the majority were those who'd been expelled from a big country. Of course, we were not in that group, but there were a significant number of people who have come to that particular city kind of as an attempt to try to regroup and figure out what their next steps would be in the mission field.
Now, Chris, I'm curious about your perspective as someone who has focused on the needs of those who've been traumatized in ministry. It's obvious that the Lord is putting people in harm's way for his purposes. And at the same time, the devil is trying to take as much advantage, I would think, to torment some and to build fear into others. And for whatever God's purposes, he's allowing that kind of fear to creep in close and in some ways tenderize those who might have felt strong or confident in their ministries before. It's just a tough time to be in the international outreach and evangelistic work around the world, especially in Asia. So what was your perspective then on those who have been dislocated so abruptly and are trying to regroup? What is God telling you about that particular group of servants in the kingdom?
I would say a couple of things come to mind as you ask that question, Bram. One is there is every opportunity for these individuals. I just gave the tip of the iceberg. It's this particular area. You almost could call it a missionary refugee center. I would say that a couple of things have occurred. One is the consulate of the big country has suddenly brought 300 new employees to their consulate. It is known by everyone in the mission circles in that area that these are spies, and they come from numerous backgrounds, which means that wherever missionaries would meet, wherever churches meet, it is highly likely that some of these spies are in their presence, and this has greatly limited the amount of activity that can take place in the region, so much so that some of the training centers that we have taught in the past, particularly those that focus on the big country, but others as well, have closed their doors entirely. One particular training center where they would regularly have around 25 in for periods of training in R&R, where we have taught a couple of times in the past. The building's there, but it's empty, and there's no sign of it, and any indication of what has been used for in the past.
Okay, Chris, let me get some clarification on this here. You're saying that the spying by government agents in the big country has been all-encompassing, but now they're actually sending their people after the expats, or the people that may have been from the West that have been living in those parts of their country, and following them to where they retreat to sniff out more activity or more plans.
Yes, that's exactly right. Now, understand, this all comes to me anecdotally from the people whom we were with. I have not seen any verification from any media or government organization, but it has had a dramatic effect upon the activity throughout the region. In other words, our ministry, which was pretty broad and we dealt with many, many different ethnic groups, has been largely limited. We had some activity, but very limited activity. Nothing like what we've done in the past because we've been in this region many times before. I would say that it is a dramatically different environment because the people, the Christians, the missionaries are very aware of the possibility that there are spies in their midst, and they are therefore afraid to conduct, as an example, training for missionaries because that may expose some of the missionaries to scrutiny on the part of the big country. So in other words, what you've just said, Bram, is exactly right. The big country in the region has extended its hands across borders and is now having a profound effect throughout the entire region.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. The second half of today's broadcast is coming up right after this.
Hi, friends. Here's a quick update on our growth goals for the rest of 2019. To start with, a big thank you to all who responded to our summer challenge. We've grown our vision team larger than ever, and that means we can focus more on the ministry opportunities that are coming our way. We still have two important goals to reach this year in order to take on some faith-stretching and desperately needed projects in 2020. We'll be sharing a lot more about those in the days to come. The first goal is to grow our vision team by another 200 people. That simply means Compassion Radio becomes part of your regular, faithful mission giving, and at a level that the Lord enables you. I know that gifts of all sizes are exactly what the Lord uses to build His kingdom around the world. If you're on a fixed income or you run a large business, your giving matters to the Lord and to His kingdom servants. Your generosity makes it possible for us to bring you some truly amazing stories and news from the front lines of faith. Think of it this way. Compassion Radio makes it possible for God's courageous people around the world to bring you a daily gift of encouragement and inspiration. We invite you inside the greatest movements of God in the history of Christianity. They're happening right now. Is that worth something to you? I certainly hope so. It's our vision team members that literally keep us going day to day. You can be part of that team. Secondly, we've got a year-end budget challenge of $100,000 that we simply must meet in order to make sure we can continue on the station where you hear this program every day. I'm confident in you and the Lord's provision to make that possible. Our vision team is leading the way on this. If you haven't given in a while, would you consider joining them to meet this special appeal? Friends, thank you so much for taking the special appeal to heart. We are truly so grateful for you.
To join the Compassion Radio Vision Team, go to CompassionRadio.com. That's CompassionRadio.com.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
Celebrating 75 years in Christian broadcasting, this is Compassion Radio.
I would say that a couple of things have occurred. One is the consulate of the big country has suddenly brought 300 new employees to their consulate. It is known by everyone in the mission circles in that area that these are spies, and they come from numerous backgrounds, which means that wherever missionaries would meet, wherever churches meet, it is highly likely that some of these spies are in their presence, and this has greatly limited the amount of activity that can take place in the region, so much so that some of the training centers that we have taught in the past, particularly those that focus on the big country, but others as well, have closed their doors entirely. One particular training center where they would regularly have around 25 in for periods of training in R&R, where we have taught a couple of times in the past, the building's there, but it's empty. And there's no sign of it, and any indication of what has been used for in the past.
Okay, Chris, let me get some clarification on this here. You're saying that the spying by government agents in the big country has been all-encompassing. But now they are actually sending their people after the expats or the people that may have been from the West that have been living in those parts of their country and following them to where they retreat to sniff out more activity or more plants.
Yes, that's exactly right. Now, understand, this all comes to me anecdotally from the people whom we were with.
Mm-hmm.
Have not seen any verification from any media or government organization, but it has had a dramatic effect upon the activity throughout the region. In other words, our ministry, which was pretty broad and we dealt with many, many different ethnic groups, has been largely limited. We had some activity, but very limited activity. Nothing like what we've done in the past because we've been in this region many times before. I would say that it is a dramatically different environment because the people, the Christians, the missionaries are very aware of the possibility that there are spies in their midst, and they are therefore afraid to conduct, as an example, training for missionaries because that may expose some of the missionaries to scrutiny on the part of the big country. So in other words, what you've just said, Bram, is exactly right. The big country in the region has extended its hands across borders and is now having a profound effect throughout the entire region.
Okay. That would indicate that the kingdom itself might feel like they're on the defense rather than the offense. I know the kingdom of God has always functioned correctly when it's on the offense, meaning not to be offensive. To be on the offensive in the kingdom means to be in servant mode, going to the places where the need is greatest and bringing the gospel to them. So I'm sensing that there's almost a fear that the gospel can't go anymore to where people feel like it should go. Is that the way you're sensing the people that have been in this field for a while are experiencing this kind of persecution?
I would say that despite this threat, I don't want to say exactly the opposite is taking place, but I would say there is a confidence in the Lord that is taking place.
Very good.
We saw in various churches evidence of extreme rejoicing in the Lord, almost like the Acts 4 event where the apostles were glorifying and rejoicing in the Lord because they've been considered to be attacked for the name of Jesus. So okay. We saw that very clearly. We did not see evidence of people who were backing down at all.
Very good.
Well, one particular story, if you have time, I'll share it. Well, I can't give any details.
Of course
but,
not.
this was an amazing situation that we were aware of. And keep in mind that everyone in this region is aware and believe the eye in the sky from the big country is watching them wherever they go and whatever they do. They believe and have been told, whether it came from the consulate or it's true or not, they believe that through facial recognition software and the eye in the sky, they can be found within 3 minutes wherever they are. Despite this, here was a remarkable account we saw. We went to a church that the language of the big country, and consisted of almost entirely nationals from the big country who had come to this particular area. We attended the worship, and we met the pastor who was there. And this pastor, we learned later, had been either expelled or left on his own from the big country because of the danger to him.
Hmm.
He had been the pastor of the largest house church in the capital city of the big country. So he was a man of some recognition and notoriety. He had come to this city in Southeast Asia. He'd become the pastor of a church for nationals, and we were entranced by what we saw because there was a wonderful worship service, and after the traditional meal, which you know occurs in those churches mm-hmm. always, immediately after the traditional meal, the area, the meeting place was cleared, tables were set up with chairs, and about 25 or 30 young men, nationals from the big country, suddenly came into the room. We had not seen them previously. They sat down. They were there for training, and they were new believers. The goal and intent was to help them, enable them in ministry in the future. Very dangerous thing, what he was doing.
Interesting.
Now, these individuals all came from one major city in the big country, and they were going to return to that major city in the big country. And what was most telling to us was a video that he showed that showed the 30-year-ago rebellion that occurred in the square in the capital city of the big country, because the people in this country are unaware of what took place 30 years ago. It is hidden from them.
Indeed.
So this was shown to them, And we had opportunity to talk with many nationals and to interact with them and to gain greater insight into what they'd gone through and the things they'd happened. I still remember talking to one particular individual saying, "Do you think this could ever happen again, what happened 30 years ago?" And this individual paused for a second and then shook the head up and down to say yes, but also said maybe. So in other words, there's a great deal of event taking on in the big country. I do not sense that this latest round of persecution has had a notable effect upon the missionary activity. It's kind of a time of regrouping. What is the Lord doing? What is he calling us to do? And a clear recognition that God's in control, these things have happened for a reason, and that old statement of Tertullian, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. They're very well aware of that, and we saw not a reluctance to continue ministry, but a determination to continue in whatever direction the Lord is now leading.
Okay, Chris, for the assessment you've just given, that gives me great comfort, because I would be mostly concerned about their discouragement. And what you're saying is what we've always hoped for. When the persecution hits, and it's just beginning in many ways, it's a technical persecution right now, as the awareness of this surveillance state grows amongst those who are being surveilled, that they're not shirking back from their responsibilities to the gospel or from their joy in the gospel, but they're doing exactly what the New Testament Christians always did, which was to respond with the threat as one of those opportunities to suffer for Christ. And knowing that that will happen, knowing too that the promise of God's presence would not be taken from them. And that's something we have a hard time understanding in the West. Those who face persecution almost look forward to it with anticipation and joy because they know that God will show up. And in doing that, they get to experience him firsthand like many others never get to do. I know that's kind of an oxymoron. It's a paradox, but it's true. And it's been true in the scriptures ever since they've been given to us. Read for me into the future, the tea leaves a bit here, friend. What do you think is in for the believers in Southeast Asia and from the big country, and how should we be lifting them up in prayer here in the West?
Bram, we did not see any discouragement. I wouldn't say it's not there. We didn't see it. The biggest immediate concern was, how do people get a visa to stay in this country? In other words, what's their next step? And there was some concern about that. But, you know, the Lord knows, I certainly don't, and you don't. But I foresee an explosion of the gospel in the entire region. These missionaries are in the country which is largely unreached, and God has brought them there for a purpose. I envision an explosion of the gospel in that particular country, which is really unreached. And I also expect to see an explosion of the gospel throughout the big country. And the other country in Asia that we've not talked about, which is also seeing some missionaries not expelled, but leaving because of danger to themselves, they've also come to that region as well, the two biggest countries in Asia I'm speaking of. These events, I think, are orchestrated by the Lord, and I expect to see a great harvest, very significant, not only in the big country, but also in the second big country and in Southeast Asia, which has largely been unreached.
We think in the West of millions being reached. You can't even begin to talk about the peoples of Asia without talking in the billions.
Yeah, that's right.
And we know that the vast majority of humanity lives between the zero meridian and going east from there, about a third of the way around the world.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria, and we'll hear more from Chris Creech on our next broadcast. If you missed anything today, well, you can listen again anytime. Just open up your browser on your computer or smartphone or even your tablet and go to CompassionRadio.com. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you liked what you heard, please consider supporting Compassion Radio. First, with your prayers. You know, when you pray for us, God increases the effectiveness of this ministry by empowering the Compassion Radio team for service and by opening doors of opportunity for us to be a blessing to the body of Christ. Now, second, would you please share this broadcast with a friend or a loved one? This is going to help us reach as many people as possible with the important work God is doing in the lives of those who live in a missional way. And really, that's all of us, you and I. Finally, please consider supporting this ministry financially. You can give a one-time gift, a semi-regular gift, or you can become a Compassion Radio Vision Team member. And that means a regular monthly gift for the amount of your choosing. You know, this ministry is 100% listener supported, and that means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. You can support Compassion Radio right now by calling 800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. That's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. You can also text the word compassion to 53445. That's the word compassion to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio at P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy day to listen, spend a little time with us. Be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Ventures Incorporated and your generous financial support.